Other schools doing it. Why not? Why we got to be bigger than the other schools? Why we got to do things the right way? Alabama, I saw them fools that Nick Saban was getting. I saw those dudes, man. Those dudes, they don't know their nouns, their verbs. They don't know none of that stuff.
Dang.
They just came in to play football. Then go to the league. That's it. Nick Saban.
You don't think they learned some nouns and verbs while they were?
Man, they don't know where to put commas, periods. They don't know none of that stuff. But, hey, they know how to hit. They know how to catch. They run 4-3. Priorities here, y'all. Priorities. The facility's right. Hey, we need this for football. It's going to help us get in big-time recruits. Done and done. CDC and Hartzell, they got to pull arms and legs to get things popping around here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. Like, we got our priorities. We got to get better. Because they say, don't tell me we're all serious about football and all this stuff. And then I see these other schools who are making these sacrifices, which they probably don't even consider sacrifices. They just probably think it's a part of the game. It's a part of it. While Texas is out here saying, oh, we want it so bad, but we still, you know, we got to do things the right way. We got to focus on other things. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Let's get better. We got to get better. We got to change some things. We got to change some things. You know, and I appreciate what Hartzell and CDC have done. You know I do. They try their ass off. Those dudes and a whole bunch of people busting their ass, man. And I get sometimes there's just people in the way that, yeah, you got to go through them. But, hey, those people, they important folks too. So you got to be careful with how you approach it. But, man, Tuscaloosa, Baton Rouge, all these other cities, that all they got is football. They put all their time, their investments into that. I need to see more of that around here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You ain't cheating, you ain't winning. See? Naaman gets it. Naaman gets it.
Well, all the miss evaluations, whatever. The lack of ability to get the best five on the offensive line this year, that hurt Sark and his ability to say, you want to come and play in my offense. Now, he can point to Arch Manning and mask all of that, especially with the way Arch is playing over the last, you know, six games. And he played great in the Citrus Bowl. But Sark's got to get, he's got to get that balance back. He's got to get that balance. And he had Bijan, he had Jonathan Brooks. Those guys were recruited before he got here. Rojo, you know, he needs to find his Rojo and Bijan and make sure that, you know, he's, you know, finding these guys and not having to go money whip someone else. Because you're the offensive guy. You're supposed to know exactly what you're looking for, exactly who you want. And if that's not happening, then you got to question why and figure out, do I need some new guys in there evaluating talent? Because you can't be slipping. Not today.
Yeah, and apparently getting rid of Pete Kwiatkowski, they got rid of Kenodo Hudson, they got rid of Dwayne Akina, they got rid of Chad Scott. So obviously all those guys were holding you back. Bring in Muschamp, Blake Gideon, which I'm still confused on why he would come back. You're going to have to explain that to me because I thought the whole point was to be the man. You're at Georgia Tech. I get it. It's Georgia Tech. It's Atlanta. That's definitely a change for a kid from Leander, Texas. But still, you're calling the shots. This is your side of the football, defensive coordinator. Isn't that what he wanted? Now you're coming back to Texas. Yeah, you have a bigger role than you did last time, but why would he do that, Chip?
Well, sometimes you got to look at your roster and if you don't have the roster and you know it's going to be a rough year, it's kind of like when coaches pick a job, does that team already have a quarterback? And look, they can pay him to where he's probably making more than what he was making as a DC at Georgia Tech. But, you know, it's an interesting question. And he loves Muschamp. Muschamp has been in his corner. Muschamp coached him. And so, you know, sometimes sometimes it just feels right. But it's a legit question. It'll be the first question he gets, you know? Yeah. Okay, why? You just got a chance to run the defense. Now you're, you know, and if he believes with Muschamp, we're going to have a championship defense and I want to help bring a national championship, whatever.
Yeah. But I mean, North Carolina State put up 48 on them. Pittsburgh put up 42. They held Georgia to 16 points, man.
Right.
So it wasn't like he was all that bad. Like, he had his moments, but also putting up 16 against Georgia. Hey, coach, can you give me 17? Like, what do you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're playing against Georgia here, rival game, and we're battling. We're in the game. So, Muschamp, yeah, that's his boy. That's his guy. I get it. From the ATX. Hey, I'd always come back home if it made the most sense. But, yeah, I see CB saying that Georgia Tech fans glad he's gone. That's crazy. I don't think that's fair at all.
That every message board says that when a coach or player leaves. I mean, look at, they're already calling Parker a traitor. And Parker's like the nicest guy out there.
Yeah, you can't take that trip. And you know Brent Venables is going to ask all types of stuff. Like, if he actually goes to OU, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Brent can't lose too many more to Sark. Right. I get it. Like, Brent saved himself. That seat is a lot colder again to the college football playoff, and you can put a lot of those issues on the offense, which that's not Brent's forte. But you can't keep losing to Sark. Brent Venables can't keep doing that. So if you got to bring in somebody that was, you know, in the know, somebody that knows Sark personally, just to give you a little bit of an advantage. Hey, I get looking at Parker Livingston, and Parker Livingston could play a little bit. He had some drops. My man talking about he couldn't catch HIV if he tried. That's cold, man. That's really cold. Parker was not
wrong with people.
Parker was not that bad. I saw the drops too, but he wasn't that bad. And he was happy after the Cheez-It Bowl. He was excited. He was saying that corny Cheez-It saying, I'm the cheesiest coach that everybody was saying. He was right. Up. Like, it looked like the exit meeting was going to go well. But y'all just want Parker Livingston to sit on the bench his sophomore year.
Jeremiah asks, is there a tight end in the portal that could start here? I feel like it's a need. Yeah, I think the Michigan State tight end, Michael Mansanu, Masunis. That guy's 259. He can block. He can catch. I think he's a guy who fits what they need right now.
I mean, yeah, going out and looking for a tight end, I get that. Like, the room is thick, but if there's somebody better, I understand. For that person, whoever that may be, if Texas comes calling and if there's a tight end that's better, why would they want to go into that deep-ass tight end room? Like, where, you know, unless if they're making promises where, oh, you're going to be the man, you're going to get JT Sanders, Gunnar Helm treatment. I mean, as a competitor, okay. Certain guys want to compete and say, oh, I could care less about that room, you know, being a lot of guys in there. I could beat all those guys out. there's a lot of guys that do think like that. There's a lot of guys that don't think like that. So that's the only thing that I question, because Mari Winston, Jordan Washington, Spencer Shannon, Nick Townsend, I haven't heard anything from those guys yet, which they might be doing the same thing Connor Robinson's doing and just waiting for everything to play out to see what decision they're going to make. But either way, that's a lot of guys in that room, even with Jack injuries off to the NFL.
Well, Michael Mesunis has 1 year of eligibility left. 6'5", 259, had 19 catches, 232 yards, three touchdowns. And fits that, you know, guy who can do both. So if you're running more 11 personnel, that's the guy who's going to be on the field because he can block and get it done. Now, let's see how much progress guys like Nick Townsend, Amari Winston, I think they're going to find a way to get Amari Winston on the field, even if it's like in a H-back, fullback type of role, because that dude, he's just a football player. Like, he likes contact. He can catch.
Did he get hurt?
No, they just didn't play him. And I hope he's still around, you know?
What about Jordan Washington? Did he get hurt?
No. He had a lot of drops. Like, Jordan Washington needs to, I think his intensity meter needs to go up, because I was standing at practice at the Citrus Bowl and they were in the red zone. It was third and short, and Caldwell put it right on his hands, and Jonah Williams came up and popped him, and the ball came loose, and Zena Umazula was like, "You a bizotch." I mean, it was, and Jordan Washington. Oh yeah. And Jordan Washington's like, "What?" Yeah. He's like, "Catch the damn ball, bizotch."
Wow. All right.
So, yeah, I think, like, if you could combine all of those guys, you know, Townsend's speed and athleticism, Winston's toughness with Jordan Washington's length, you'd have the ideal tight end. But right now you're kind of piecemealing it. And Spencer Shannon, I don't know. I mean, if it's...
You were high on him in the offseason.
I know. And they never target him. I've never seen if he can catch, because they don't target him, which tells you something. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, look, it's tough right now to decide who's what. You just said it. Like, there were guys, well, who played in the Citrus Bowl who you're like, why haven't they been playing? I mean, you look at Kalik Lockett making that catch down the sideline, contested catch, tough catch, beautiful.
Hell of a throw.
Great throw, great catch. You know, Christian Clark got into a rhythm, got 20 carries, got you 100 yards. Now he's probably watching to see what's going on, because, you know, that 100-yard game came at a good time for him.
Yeah. And what I hear from every Texas fan that has their eye on Derek Cooper, this guy's going to be the next Bijan Robinson. So, all right. Okay.
Right.
That's what you're telling me. I know he's good, but I'm just...
You got to have two. Careful. You got to have two. You got to. Every team needs to have two. You got to take the carries off of each other, and you got to be able to rotate. So every back who played, you know, Roshan, Bijan, they both said, "Man, I'm glad I didn't get all the carries in college. I got just what I needed. Now I got some tread on the tire in the NFL." Like, if you want, you know, 25, 30 carries a game, you're hurting yourself. But it does help to get into a rhythm. And Christian Clark got to do that.
Yeah.
So
they didn't even try with anybody else.
No.
I was like, damn, man, can y'all get my man James Simon a little bump?
Right. Can I get my man James Simon a little something, a little crumb?
Let him pass block something.
Something.
face? Like, did Jabbar Jaloof just walk in and just put his arms around Christian Clark and start walking with him while James Simon trailed? Like, because that's what it seemed like with the way they were using, which Christian Clark earned all those reps. Let's keep that clear. He earned it, but damn, still.
Yeah, he did. But didn't the Michael Terry short yardage thing feel forced?
That was weird.
Like, that's where I wanted to see James Simon, because that dude can spin and move, and he's got that kind of sidestep ability, make you miss in a phone booth. I like James Simon.
Yeah.
And Sark is crazy about Michael Terry. Like, I don't feel like Michael Terry has a position. I feel like it's...
Well, who you compare him to? Lil Jordan Humphrey?
Well, he needs to be like Lil Jordan Humphrey because he's a taller guy who played running back in high school like Lil Jordan did at South Lake Carroll. And then Lil Jordan moved to receiver. Boom. It was instant. It's not instant with Michael Terry. You know, he had struggled with some drops and stuff. And he just, he needs confidence, whatever. But I don't know what his position is, because those short yardage runs, he looked like a guy who, okay, I'm supposed to hit the A-gap. I'm going into the A-gap, even if there's six guys in there. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying dance, because, that doesn't always lead to good things either. But he's so upright. I don't know.
Yeah, the pad's high, and he can't help it. He's a tall dude.
Right.
It's hard to get that low pad level that you want as a running back when you're that tall.
I'm like, how much are you paying him? Because, he's one of the top athletes in the country in that 2025 recruiting class. But it's like, okay, where are your dollars? Are you getting the most bang for your buck? Because you paid a lot of money for Lockett, French, and Michael Terry, and you didn't get it in 25.
I'm right there with you, dog, because I said the same thing about my man Kalik Lockett. That was an expensive-ass touchdown that he had. That was a hell of expensive, because that's all we saw from him.
And they'll go back to those guys and say, hey, you got to take less, because you got paid a ton of money. You didn't play, so cut you back and earn it back, And that's everywhere. That's everywhere. If you got paid a lot of money and you didn't play, they're gonna cut you back.
And that's tough, because the agent ain't at practice all the time. So these kids could go tell their agent and be like, yo, I was better than DeAndre Moore speculation. I would have caught that pass that Ryan Wingo dropped against Georgia. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it's dark. The game's dark. The game's dark right now. And everybody's trying to get the upper hand. But
you gotta be really good, man. You gotta be really good at evaluating, developing, and then putting the right price on some of these guys, because everyone in the country is talking about how Texas has their money in the wrong place at receiver, or they did in 2025. So it's like, that's not good. That's not what you want people talking about. You want people saying, oh man, they got Emmett Mosley for next to nothing and he balled out. And that's what you want. And then you go from there. The other thing too, Zay, is that as we see the market increase, which it is, because these agents are always going to push to increase the market. I mean, Scott Boras, the super agent in baseball, almost single-handedly changed salaries in baseball. And as we get into this, you got to be really good. You got to be really good at managing your cap and still maintaining relationships with these agents, because you're going to see them over and over again, most likely, if they have other players or if they're good at what they do. Like, Cam Coleman's got David Mulligetta. David Mulligetta is like the number one
OG
agent in the biz right now at what, Athletes First. So it's, you know, like Brandon Harris has a really hard job, really hard job.
Yeah. I saw somebody for the, yeah, my man Derek's calling for Brandon Harris' gig, calling for his head. Said, if I'm Clark's agent, Brandon Harris dropping the ball on the portal. I think he said something else about Brandon Harris dropping the ball. So now Brandon Harris is getting heat.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, look, Brandon Harris might be a genius for not spending all that money on Cam Coleman. I mean, if it's, again, he's not Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith, that's $2 million to $4 million right there. That dude's catching 12 touchdowns in a bad year. I mean, that dude's ridiculous. He could be the number one pick in the draft next year.
He almost single-handedly won Ohio State that game versus Miami.
Right. Right. Now that's the guy you go, yeah, let's go spend $2 to $4 million on him. But look, you got to the semifinals of the playoffs with Matt Golden. Chris Jackson, great job. I mean, Golden had skills, but he came from an air raid offense. He learned how to play in a pro style offense and delivered over and over and over and over and over and over again. And he got paid. First round pick. That's what I'm talking about. Just keep following that blueprint. You don't need to go, you know, I've heard Cam Coleman's a little bit like George Pickens. Okay.
Gotta love that.
That makes me happy and it scares me. Right. So just make sure you know exactly what you're looking to bring in. Is it a guy who comes in and elevates everybody? Or is it a guy who comes in and pisses everybody off? So it's, they know what the deal is. Sark talks about it all the time. And he said it at the Citrus Bowl post-game press conference. He's like, these guys, Ty Anthony Smith, you know, Arch Manning, they got to be our culture guardians because we're going to bring in a bunch of new guys. And the culture has to be maintained. I'll never forget Bill Snyder at K-State, who recruited a lot of JUCOs. He got a bad batch of JUCOs in K-State. And he stepped away. Then he came back. But it can go south in one bad, you know, one set of bad apples. And it doesn't have to be all of them, but it can be a couple of them who can come in and like Tevin Mack. I feel bad that that kid's probably a CEO of a company by now. But like when he came to Texas and basketball under Shaka, they had Jared Allen and they went, 11 and 22? And Tevin Mack is causing all kinds of problems in the locker room. And Shaka should have told him, hey, man, you need to go. Because as soon as he left, they got better. Sometimes you got to be careful. You got to be careful what you're bringing in. Now, I love watching Cam Coleman play because that dude makes big-time catches, and he is the guy. In the red zone, you're going to him. Just like Texas when they had A.D. Mitchell, you're going to A.D. Mitchell. You have Matt Golden, you're going to Matt Golden. So, you know, I like the kid Nick Marsh out of Michigan State. 6'3", just like Cam. Great hands. You know. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, man. You don't want to be caught in milk-bone underwear.
Milk-bone underwear? Who said that?
That's on Cheers.
That's on Cheers?
Yeah.
Ted Danson, who said that?
Norm. Yeah, Nick Marsh had 59 catches, 662 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way, Chris Jackson, I see that they extended his contract.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Chris Jackson, he's done a nice job. I mean, I get this year, but this year there were so many other issues, like the offensive line. Arch had to grow into the job, and you know, early on, the receivers were where they were supposed to be. Arch couldn't hit them. Arch had a weird open stance throw early in the Citrus Bowl where he missed wide open guy, and then he got into the flow. He was fine. But, you know, earlier in the year, he'd make that bad throw, and he'd be like, uh-oh, what just happened? And then it would happen again, and blah, 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 blah. But now Arch is... He knows what's going on. He's carrying himself with all kinds of swag. There was someone who I guess was filming with their phone or I don't know. But on that long touchdown run, he ran right up to that camera. The
camera, yeah.
He just gave him that deadpan look like, you know.
Oh, he was on one that game. ESPN, they call him saying, I'm just not going to give a F at one point in the game. I think it was after, what play was it? I think it was after the throw to Kalik Lockett when he was hurting because he got that fourth and two and he got slammed on the ground. And I think that's where he got that bruise on his hip that you saw later on in the game where he lifted his shirt up. But he was a little hobbled after that play. And then a couple of plays later after those Christian Clark runs, he hit Kalik Lockett down the field on that beautiful throw. But yeah, they went and put that B-roll on him. He said, I'm just not going to give a F. Then after that, Ty Anthony Smith interception, he runs a 60-yard touchdown, shows that speed, and yeah, that was all she wrote then. But yeah, Arch Manning, all that hype that he had, 2025 preseason, I think that's the hype and energy we need to put on him here in 2026 because now it makes sense.
You see where Arch went over to Bryce Underwood, who was kind of sitting off by himself, and yeah, talked to him for a minute, was like, hey, man. You're killing it.
Yeah. Nah, you good know. Team, man. Like, all those quarterbacks, even though they're competing against each other, there's just a certain level of respect. I'm sure he's going to see Bryce Underwood this summer at his uncle's camp, that any type of high-level quarterback in college football goes to. So, yeah, there's a certain respect that – a lot of quarterbacks have for one another, and Arch Manning, he's no different than that. So, yeah, I appreciate him doing that and showing Bryce Underwood love, which Bryce Underwood, yeah, he was bad in that fourth quarter, but he did some things, boy, where you get why he was offered that with $8 million, $10 million, whatever the hell he got for his time up there in Ann Arbor. You get the hype. And if Kyle Whittingham could bring in somebody that fits for him, offensively, I don't know who that's going to be, but they can find that dude. Look out, Michigan. They're right there next year.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's get a couple mentions in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, for my guys who are snoring, about in 2026, we try to get to the bottom of that. Because if you're snoring, it's more than just annoying to the person next to you. It could be the sign of a serious health issue called sleep apnea, which is a lack of oxygen while you're sleeping. And you don't even realize it. Like, you wake up gasping and you hardly realize it because you're in and out of sleep. But if you're waking up tired every day and irritable, you need to get checked out. And we got this great partnership, Texas Sports Unfiltered and the Sleep Cycle Center of Austin. Locations in Lakeway and the Arboretum. And it's Dr. Chad Denman, who's dedicated his life to treating sleep apnea because it killed his own father at the age of 60. And Dr. Chad has the best technology to detect sleep apnea in your sleep study and the best treatment options, including oral appliances like I have, a mouth guard that holds my lower jaw open while I sleep. It makes all the difference in the world. My wife can tell when I don't have it in. So that tells you everything you need to know. Just go to sleepcyclecenters.com tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. They're going to take $100 off your sleep study and you're going to get all the answers you need. Just go to sleepcyclecenters.com. Tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. And hopefully everyone is getting healthy in the new year. I was getting healthy last year thanks to Human with two N's. I mean, they have made it so easy. Their scientific, science-backed formulas from award-winning research done at the University of Texas Health Science Center has, you know, created formulas that are going to help you have better heart health, better cardiovascular health, better cholesterol health. And just write these down because they just put it right on the bottle. Cholesterol health daily. Metabolic health daily. I mean, helping you with healthy blood sugar and weight management. That's the stuff that no one talks about. You know, so that you don't get adult onset diabetes. And then cardiovascular health daily, helping with your blood flow, your blood pressure, your muscular health. I love the Sports Beats drink because it's the, you know, the beet based formulas in the heart chews, the Super Beats heart chews and the Super Beats sports powder are the number one recommended by cardiologists. And these Super Beats heart chews are going to help regulate your blood pressure 2 times more effectively than just diet and exercise. Don't forget about the turmeric chews, because if you're still out there kind of weekend warrioring like I am, these turmeric chews are going to help you with anti-inflammation. Inflammation is what causes the pain when we go and work out. So you got to regulate that. Here's the deal. You go to human with two N's.com/TSU. Use the promo code TSU. You get 20% off your first order. And there's a 90-day money back guarantee. So load up, get you a bunch of, you know, cans of the cardiovascular, metabolic, and cholesterol health daily, Super Beats heart chews, turmeric chews, because you're going to feel better. Your brain fog's going to go away. You're going to feel, you know, like, man, I'm doing something right. That's what it's all about. And hey, it's Monday. Cover 3, all night happy hour at Cover 3. Great time to, you know, go get some friends together. Great vibe, great service. I mean, high-end food without the high-end prices, the brick chicken and mac and cheese. I had that the other day. Oh, love it. So good. It's even good as leftovers. Love that. But the Chop House burger, the Sean Adams prime rib sandwich, it's melting your mouth food, melting your mouth fun at Cover 3. Cover 3 Anderson and Cover 3 Round Rock. And of course, our man Tom McKay, he's ready to make your 2026 so much better with the big screen of your dreams. I mean, if your big screen's not big enough to make you feel like you're on the sideline at the game, it might be time to give Tom a call at 255-8678. Or go to avconsultations.com. He's got you covered. He's going to bring you the best price on big screens. He'll do a full-blown media room for you with the surround sound. He can help you out with surveillance, electronic shades, new lighting. Just call 255-8678 or go to avconsultations.com. All right, Zay, for the chip shot today, I would just say, hey, if you're like, hey, man, what's with the slow start for Texas in the portal? I would just say don't make any final judgments until this portal window is done. Because we know in recruiting, it's a wild ride. It's full of twists and turns, some good, some bad. But even some that are bad, I always go back to Ryan Perilloux. It was all about Ryan Perilloux in 2004. And Ryan Perilloux committed to Texas. So did Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy was never supposed to play quarterback at Texas. Supposed to be Ryan Perilloux. Perilloux ditches Texas, signs with LSU, and Colt McCoy becomes the record holder. So don't blow gaskets. Don't lose your mind. Ride this wave because Texas has a lot of talent on its roster right now. They're trying to supplement. My biggest areas are offensive line and linebacker. Get those two filled and then see what you can add elsewhere. But those are the areas Texas cannot afford to make a mistake. You can afford to not pay Cam Coleman a ton of money. You can go find receivers. Steve Sarkisian's been really good at that. But let me see some of those offensive linemen. Let me see some of those linebackers. I know I've put Zay on tilt today because Robert Woodyard, who, would be a really good veteran middle linebacker who was the highest graded defender on Auburn's defense, has done it in the SEC. Yeah. So, look, Johnny Nansen, Will Muschamp, they're going to find dudes who fit what they want. And I like what they're doing at defensive tackle. I like the Ian Gaffrard. He's a smart guy. He knows he's physical. He's athletic. And if they, there's some interest, I think, in Zion, not Zion Williamson, Zion Williams, 360-pound defensive tackle out of LSU. Those guys are, in demand. But I think Will Muschamp has a good message to sell. Yeah, I coach Jalen Carter. I coached Jordan Davis. I coached Deontay Wyatt. They were a big part of the reason Georgia won two national championships. So don't hang in there. It's a wild ride, but it ain't over till it's over.
Ain't over till the fat lady sings. Yeah. Hell of a chip shot, my friend. Oh, I've been dreading this, so I guess we'll talk some basketball. But before that, shout out to BK, family owned and operated. They are the best in the business when it comes to looking for a car, new, pre-owned. They will work with you and find something that fits your budget. And, hey, it's 2026, but 2025 models still going at a high price, man. Special prices, special offers. Go check it out on covertbk.com. They got Buick, GMC. They got Cadillacs, Dodge, Chryslers, Ram, Jeeps, anything that you need, they have. You need a crossover? They got it. You need a SUV, truck? They got it. New, used, they have it. And trust me, I know, been in there myself. Hooked us up on our Buick Encore GX that my wife loves. I barely get to drive it because she loves it so much. And she knows, hey, I rarely take it for a spin. You know what I'm saying? I get behind the wheel and I'm within the limits, but also you gotta see what that thing can do. And Covert BK, they'll hook you up and take care of you. It's not about meeting the quota. They don't got any just sleazy car salesman vibes over there. No, everybody is top of the line, and they want to find a vehicle that fits for you and your family. So go over to Covert BK. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. Travis, what's up, baby? Yo, Travis, man, put your number down. We can go have lunch. We can hang out, hit the town. You know what I'm saying? You're saying your boy's an idiot and stuff. I appreciate it. I really do. Every time something like this comes up, I always got to quote the great Peter Weber. Hate me or love me, you watched. You're here. You're a part of Chip and Zay from 2 to 4 on this beautiful Monday, first Monday of the show in 2026. I'm glad you're here. No matter what you think of me, this smile ain't going nowhere. this dimple.
We love around here.
Love around here, man. And this, some people call this hate. Zay is an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Some people say that's hate. I call it love because not everybody's going to like you. You know, when you hate it, that's when you know you're doing something right. You think Jordan was loved by everybody? You think Brady was loved by everybody? So, you know, I appreciate it. This is love to me, Travis. Little do you know, it is love. So we appreciate everybody that rocks with us on Chip and Zay, Texas Sports Unfiltered. Whether you hate me or love me, we appreciate it. All right. Texas basketball, man. Good grief. First off, let's discuss the elephant in the room, and that's the officiating. Because I got a lot of comments on my Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, about how the refs are the ones that cost Texas that loss. Daylon Swang fouled out, huge, especially after the game he was having. I mean, Daylon Swang, good Lord, 34 points, you know, 14 rebounds for him to foul out of that game. That's brutal, and it can't happen. The last two fouls that he had, he had a help side foul where Josh Herbert drove the lane. Daylon Swang came over and took a swipe. They called it on him. That call, it's tough. I don't like it, but it was called. That gave him four. And then the worst one was when he was boxing out old African brother, Big 99, that changed the game. 99, my opinion, he was the X factor in that game. He got like seven offensive rebounds, and the rebounds overall, that was the game with Texas being out rebounded by 947 to I think 38, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 47 to 39, so out rebounded by eight. Huge. But if you're Daylon Swain, what about the foul that you had before those last two? Where you're going for the steal, you grab a guy's hip and you wrap your arm around the other side to catch the ball to get a deflection. That's not good. You can't do dumb stuff like that. You can't. Now, in Daylon Swain's defense, what Sean Miller talked about it in his presser, Sean Miller, you can tell he's getting frustrated with this team. You can tell. And shout out to our guy, Eric Henry, Horse 24/7, Texas Sports Unfiltered. Eric Henry asked a question to Sean Miller where he was like, hey, is it the IQ of the guys? I'm paraphrasing here. Is it the IQ of the guys or is it something that coaching can correct? Something along those lines. Listen to what Sean Miller had to say about that. Probably the quote of the year for Sean Miller.
Now, if I tell you not to cross the street and I keep telling you and I say, I swear, whatever you do, do not cross the street. And you do, and the bus hits you. I'm going to take responsibility as your parent. But damn it, how many times do I have to tell you not to cross the street? We got some of that going on.
Yeah, that's just a nice way of saying we're a dumbass team. I tell these guys over and over and over again, basic basketball things, and we don't listen. Stop fouling three-point shooters. Stop it. I saw that three times in this game, all on Josh Herbert. Every time he rose with Josh Herbert, he's a hell of a player, by the way. Like, even though he took 30 shots to get the 38 that he had, it seemed like every bucket that was timely, he hit. But, man, Jordan Pope got hit with a foul on the three. Kendall Weaver did. Simeon Wilcher fouled on the three to end the half. Like, they just do dumb things. And there's only six players that you could trust right now. And it's not like those six players aren't flawed. Like, those six players have flawed too. But Sean Miller also talked about this too, which I've been saying all year, Chip. You know I've been talking about the power forward position. It's a liability. So much so, your coach is out here saying, we're basically playing 4-on-5 because the power forward position has given us nothing. That's what he said. He said that after the Mississippi State game. Cam Heidi, Lasina Traore, he's not playing Declan DeRue at all. So it's just Nick Cody. He's not playing him. He gave up on Nick Cody. He is forcing Daylon Swain to play the power forward spot, which offensively it works. Defensively, it's tough. Even though he had 14 rebounds, Daylon Swain is still giving up a lot of size down there, which not only that affects him, that affects everybody else around him because you're also playing with small guards. So when you have him at the four, it's not like Kendall Weaver's out here 6'8". It's not like Jordan Pope is 6'5", 6'6", where it can help negate playing a small forward at your power forward spot. Those guys are small too. So that's why you get beat on the boards by eight to a Mississippi State team where Chris Jantz, he realized that. He realized, okay, Swain's killing us offensively playing the four. But we could kill them defensively by just attacking the glass and putting in two bigs. And it led to Daylon Swain, even if you don't agree with the call, fouling out of the game. So that worked. That worked for Mississippi State. Also, Sean Miller, bro. You got to read the room. You could say what you said about if I tell you not to cross the street and you get hit by the bus. You could say all that. Great analogy, by the way. But if Daylon Swain, who fouls out, 1:46 left in the game, you're up by seven, you got to win that game. You have to win that game. They gave up a three to Hubbard. They gave up a layup. And then they end up allowing the shot to tie it. In between all of that, Chip, Jordan Pope took your last two shots. Why? Why is he the guy taking the shots? But Zay, Daylon Swain's out the game. He fouled out. Okay. Tremon Mark, I trust him with the ball in his hands more than Jordan Pope at the end of the game. Sorry, Jordan Pope, but a lot of your shots come from settling. Tremon Mark can make things happen. Not just for himself, but others, where he doesn't have to settle. He's just a better one-on-one defender. He is. That's just a fact. Mathis is a better option before Jordan Pope to get the ball. Both of those guys were in the game. So Jordan Pope takes a bad three that leads to a bucket to tie the game. Sean Miller has three timeouts. Instead of calling the timeout when you realize Jordan Pope has the ball in his hands, you run a play for Jordan Pope to take the game winner. Meanwhile, you have the worst defender, that freaking German dude, number 11 for Mississippi State. He's their worst defender. He's guarding Tremon Mark. You don't have to call a timeout. Throw it to Tremon Mark. He has a mismatch. Let's go. We'll take what we could get. But for Jordan Pope, after he already missed a clutch shot, to put the ball in his hands for him to take another one, that's bad coaching, Sean Miller. That's not a good move. That's just not – you got to understand the room. You got to understand that Jordan Pope, this ain't his time. And this is the second time Sean Miller has done that, in my opinion, where it's cost Texas a game. Go back to Maui Invitational where Daylon Swain, he missed two free throws, clutch free throws, but – they had a chance to win the game. They gave it to Tremon Mark, who was struggling at the time. This was before Sean Miller gave Tremon Mark confidence to shoot mid-range jumpers and to take ill-advised, you know, twos, according to what analytics people like to say out here. But still, Daylon Swain should have taken the shot at the end of that game. Okay, you lose that. We're learned from it. Here we are, new situation, Tremon Mark is the better option with Swain out. If not him, let's give it to Mathis. And then if somehow we get in the situation where it ends up in Jordan Pope's hands because we tried the first two options on the court, so be it. But, man, I wouldn't have went with that. Jordan Pope has his moments. I'm just not putting the ball in his hands in that moment. I'm not. Another play that was horrible too, and this is what Sean Miller might be talking about with that analogy where he's telling guys, but they're still not listening. You got Lastina Traore on the court. You got Josh Herbert, who likes to come off that high screen and shoot the three at the top of the key.
Hubbard,
thank you. It's a tie game. Kendall Weaver's guarding Hubbard. Here comes that high pick and roll. Your man screening Lastina Traore. Either we're doubling Josh Hubbard, who has 35 points at the time, or we're making sure Kendall Weaver stays. What do they do, Chip? they switch. They switch, and they just allow Lucina Traore to guard Hubbard one-on-one. And if you're a great scorer and a solid shooter, your eyes light up when a big steps out on you. Oh, hell yeah, I'm getting to my spot. I'm getting to my spot. Ain't no way this big can check me. And that's exactly what happened. He get a little stutter step right into that really high jumping shot that he gets into, knocked it down, hit the crowd with a quiet gesture, and Texas just couldn't overcome that. Which Tremont Mark, tough missed free throws, but still, there are a lot more things prior to those missed free throws that lost Texas this game. And now if you look at the schedule, you got Tennessee tomorrow. They're pissed off because they just lost to Arkansas. I think you got three ranked games after you played Mississippi State and lost to them in overtime. That was a must win. That was a must win. This is an NIT team. This is an NIT team. And it's frustrating. Like, you're not getting anything out of Cam Heidi. You're not getting anything out of Lucina Traore. It's tough. It's tough. We talk about misevaluations with this football team. This coaching staff, same thing. Same thing. They misevaluate on Cam Heidi, Nick Cody, Lucina Traore. Is it what he was when he was at, you know, Long Beach? He missed that whole year at Xavier. It's tough times right now. Like, if you need Daylon Swain to drop 34 and 14 and you're still losing to Mississippi State, and Mathis has 19, and Tremont Mark plays well, and Kendall Weaver looks good, and you're still just losing here, I don't know what more you can do. I think you're just going to keep losing games because this team, they have to make up for it with their IQ, with their lack of skill, with their lack of size. You have to make up with it by having good basketball IQ. And when you foul three-point shooters three times in one game, that's not good basketball IQ. They're beating themselves. And it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah. So are you writing off Cam Heidi?
Yeah, 100%.
What? You don't think there's any way they can make use of him in a 55% three-point shooting percentage?
And that's the thing. He can't get his shot off. He can't get it off at all. He has no ability to get it off. Like, I know you have to try to create for him, but when you do that, that means, okay, dude, you have to be able to come off screens and be ready to, like, shoot, kind of like J.J. Redick did back in his Duke days. Like, you can't do that, apparently, because they don't run any of that stuff for him. He's not even looking at the rim. He can't dribble. The first play of the game, he turns it over. First play of the game. We know what the first play of the game is. Everybody has, okay, when we come out, we're going to run this. Kind of like Sark has his opening script, just like in basketball. Most likely you have an opening play of what you want to do once you go out on the court. And Ken Heidi just turns it over because he can't dribble. And defensively, he's a liability. You can't
play. They gave that turnover to Pope.
Yeah, that's bad. That's all Cam Heidi. That was all Cam Heidi. Yeah. That was all. Damn. Man. Jordan
Pope. You just done turned on my man.
I'm not trying to turn on him. I don't want to turn on him. But we talked about this earlier. No offense to Sean Miller, but I put Matt Painter on a different pedestal than him. I think Matt Painter is a better coach. He's gotten those Purdue teams to Final Fours, national championships. I'm taking Matt Painter over Sean Miller, even though I think Sean Miller is a good coach too. With that being said, Matt Painter couldn't do anything with Cam Heidi. He couldn't. He tried.
He was a backup.
Yeah. Exactly. You're making my point. He was a backup. He wasn't good enough to play. So he goes on to Texas. And they're realizing, oh, yeah, you're not good enough to play with us either. So, that four spot, God, is bad. God, like, and I'm still confused.
I mean, you're saying this about a guy who's shooting 56% from the floor and 51%, 19 of 37 from three. It's not like he's, you know, two of five.
He would be a really good mid-major player. Because all those stats you're throwing out was gets mid-major competition. In Maui, he looked decent which everyone looks decent in Maui, shooting on them soft ass rims and the depth perceptions like a high school gym. Fun. We all had fun there. But now playing against tough SEC play, when he plays against quad one teams, it's a struggle for him. I'm telling you, Sean Miller can only trust six guys right now. That's Mathis. That's Dalen Swain, Jordan Pope, Simeon Wilcher, Kendall Weaver. Who am I missing?
Tremont Mark.
Tremont Mark. That's it. He's got six guys he can trust. Everybody else, I can't trust Lucina. I can't trust Cam Heidi. They have to be better. They have to. Like, and I don't know what you're going to do these next three games. Lord. I don't know what they do. I think they're going to get beat down tomorrow.
Well, the Texas women tried to give away a 19-point lead, but they got it done.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter was rough.
It was. I'm very – and it's hard to bitch at a team that's undefeated.
Why didn't Vic rotate more?
That's what I'm saying. That's it.
He stuck with – he played like a six-player rotation, played five of them 38 to 40 minutes.
I'm really concerned with Justice Carlton's confidence. I don't really understand how she could be such a big factor to your team when you're beating UCLA and South Carolina and Baylor. All of a sudden, Ashton Judd is healthy. And if Justice Carlton makes a mistake like she did, she made a couple of mistakes early in that game, but she got in the doghouse early where it resulted in only 7 minutes played. While Ashton Judd took the other 33 minutes out of those 40 minutes at that position. And I kind of get trying to get Ashton Judd in the rhythm because she hasn't played at all. But, man, Justice Carlton, she does so many things well. There's going to be times where she'll have a turnover or she'll get beat on D. I saw Ashton Judd getting beat on D too. She had that really good and one finish to close out the game, but I'm just very confused with the rotations right now. Like, I don't think Jordan Lee should be playing 40 minutes when you've got Breonna Preston on the bench and Ashton Judd. Ashton Judd could be a three. Madison Booker, we've seen her play point her freshman year. So if you have to sit Rory Harmon for a little bit, put Madison Booker at the point. And again, they're undefeated. So bitching from a yacht here, but the way they've looked these last two games, and it's going to get real. They got LSU coming up. They got South Carolina coming up. I'm sure they got to play Vanderbilt coming up, who just beat LSU. I saw Kentucky beat LSU the other night. It's going to get real. So they're still winning, but this is the worst that they've looked. And it's ironic because this is probably the most healthy they've been.
Well, they still don't have Aaliyah. She has setback with her foot injury. She's going to be out probably another couple weeks.
Setback.
And Rory. Yeah. So Rory was unbelievable to start the game. You know, six assists, one turnover, and then ended up with five turnovers, two really bad turnovers in the fourth quarter. Jordan Lee had a couple of bad turnovers. It was like Kyla missed a layup at like 6:57 of the fourth, and it kind of started this string of bad things. You know, Rory had a couple bad turnovers. Lee had a couple bad turnovers. They missed free throws. Rory missed free throws with 4 seconds left that would have extended the lead beyond Cody McMahon getting that three-point attempt at the buzzer to tie.
She's good.
Yeah. Yeah, good play. She came on. I mean, she scored 12 of her 19 in the fourth quarter. So,
I mean,
Ole Miss is a good team. They're ranked. They're gritty. And I think Texas relaxed. They got up 19 with, you know, 7 minutes left in the third. And they probably started thinking, we're good. But Ole Miss punished every mistake down the stretch.
No, I like Ole Miss. That's an Elite Eight team right there. I'm like, well, that's a good game.
Speaking of Ole Miss, let's bring in the fellas. Matt Golatson, how about them Ole Miss Rebels, baby?
Oh, man. I'm still on cloud nine. I don't know about y'all, but it's that was a hell of a game. and I just feel better and better about it. I almost bought tickets to Miami, like plane flights to Miami. And I was like, you know what? I probably shouldn't jinx it. So I held off. We'll see how it goes.
That was a fun game to watch, man. We were talking about Trinidad Chambliss. That dude looked in that game. He looked like he was ready to go pro.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? And shout out to the Texas Sports Unfiltered family. I got texts from Chip and Pat and BK and everybody was just like, congratulations, Matt. I was like, hell yeah.
Your women's basketball team almost pulled off a huge comeback yesterday at the Mood.
Hey, man. Coach Yay. Gotta love her. She's great.
She is good. Yeah, man. She's really good. Yeah. All right, y'all. Have a good show.
See you tomorrow.